Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm Danielle, the office manager at Striving Together Publications. Striving Together Publications is a ministry committed to providing you with life-changing books and resources. One of my favorite things about working for Striving Together is hearing your stories. Stories of how God has used a book, a CD, or a Sunday school curriculum in your life and ministry. Every day, we rejoice that our resources are helping others to come to Christ and helping Christians grow in their faith. Our online store is filled with resources that will encourage you and those you love. Be sure to visit us at strivingtogether.com, or we would love to talk personally with you. Just call toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Thank you for allowing us to serve you through Striving Together Publications.
During his earthly ministry, Jesus preached truth, timeless, eternal, unchanging, applicable to our lives even today. Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we study the preaching of Jesus Christ. Stay with us. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word, and Happy New Year from all of us at Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. The message of Jesus Christ is timeless, it's eternal, and it is so important for our lives today. In fact, understanding what Jesus preached during his brief earthly ministry is a great way to start the new year. And so these days together, we are discovering the preaching of Christ and what mattered to Jesus and why it should matter to us. Daily in the Word comes to you every Monday through Friday, featuring the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California. If you'd like more information about our ministry or this broadcast, or if you'd like to subscribe to the Daily Podcast and take Daily in the Word with you on your computer or iPod, you can visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today, we're turning to Matthew chapter 5, verses 19 through 33, considering Christ's preaching on the believer's economy. What do we do in difficult economic times? What are our priorities? Well, let's find out what Jesus' priorities were. Matthew chapter 5, here's Paul Chappell.
The things of this earth are needed. We need to be able to get to and from work, and we need to have a cover over our head, and we need to provide for our families, and all of those things are fine. But make sure the most important priority in your life is the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then notice secondly, he says, once we establish these priorities, we need to keep the focus. Keep the focus. Now, how many of you are like me? You'll lay out your best laid plans for the week, and you'll say, here's what I'm going to do, 1, 2, 3, and just as soon as that week starts, something happens to get your attention going another way. Maybe you say, this week I'm going to lose 5 pounds. How many of you would like to join me in doing that this week? All right. He said, this week I'm going to lose 5 pounds. Man, you set the priorities, you know. And I'm not going to eat any Big Macs, and I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that. Whatever your priorities are. And Monday morning, you go to work, and some guy's sitting at his desk with a big old chocolate donut with banana cream coming out. And first you take a glance like Adam and Eve with the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you know. And pretty soon, before you know it, you're having one of those donuts. And just seems like you lose the focus. Well, I want to tell you, there's one way to keep the focus right, and that's to keep your heart right. And I want you to notice how to keep the focus. It is by having an established heart. Now look at verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let's say that together. For where your treasure is. Now, if your treasure is placed out in the economy and the tools of this economy, you've got heart trouble. And it's necessary to do some wise investing and to try to avoid the tumultuous situations we face today. But you know, when your treasure is in the things of the Lord, it's a blessing. I spoke to this man recently who said to me, he said, you know, the only money I've never lost as far as investing goes is the money I've given to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I've never regretted that investment. I'm always glad I've done that. He said, it's helped me to keep my heart established on the eternal things. This is what the Apostle Paul said to the church at Colossae, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things that are above. You see, our affection should be on getting the gospel out, and our affection should be on supporting missionaries and training up a generation of young preachers, and our affection should be on the things that matter to God concerning lost souls and concerning the advancement of our kingdom. And an established heart is a heart that simply understands where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, please understand this morning, folks, God does not need your money. He wants, however, what it represents. And what it represents is you. And God says, you've got some priorities starting to form. Let me help you stay focused on this. If you want to stay focused on the eternal, then I want you to remember to lay your treasure in store. I want you to remember that where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be also. One of the best ways to be faithful to God is to be a regular giver to the work of God. You show me a fellow that's got $120,000 in a mobile home, he's going to take care of it and he's going to spend some time in it, and that may be a wonderful thing for him, but he's going to have a part of his heart there. But you know, if we make sure to have our treasure in the work of God, it's going to keep our heart where it ought to be as well. And so we want to have an established heart. Secondly, we want to have an established purpose. An established purpose. Now notice verse 24, please. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Say the last part with me. You cannot serve God and mammon. Once again, ye cannot serve God and mammon. Why? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's why Paul said, this one thing I do. He said, it's not these several things I dabble with. But this one thing I do, he says, I'm reaching forth, I'm pressing forth for the cause of Jesus Christ. Now, our purpose is very simple. We must purpose to hold to God. We must purpose in our heart, Lord, I'm going to hold to you. I want my heart to be fixed on you. Now, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Now, why did that man have his name written in the Bible as a forsaker, as one who went AWOL? Because the Bible says you cannot serve God and mammon. And that was the choice of Demas. You're either going to serve God or you're going to serve mammon or the riches of this world. You see, folks, there are only two choices on the shelf, serving God or serving self. And the fact of the matter is that many today go AWOL from church because their heart was never where it should have been. Because where your treasure is, that is where your heart will be also. We must have a purpose in our heart that says, I'm going to cling to God. I'm going to serve God. Paul the Apostle said, do I persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Oh, listen today. Every one of us can learn from the words of Jesus Christ. Establish your priorities on the eternal, he says. And then keep your focus on God, not on mammon, not on the things of this world. And whatever you do in this world, do it to the glory of God. And if he gives you a raise or your investments go well, then honor and glorify God in those times. And recognize every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now, three simple principles to help us through these economic times. Number one, establish priorities, because when your heart is on the eternal, you're not going to be disappointed. Secondly, keep the focus on the Lord. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. No man can serve two masters. And then thirdly and finally this morning, we need to remember the promises of God during times like this. We need to remember the promises of God. Someone says, wow, I'm trying to have the right priorities. I'm trying to keep the right focus. But sometimes the devil comes and he tempts me to worry. And he tempts me to wonder how this is all going to work out. I remember when Terry and I were still in Bible college and we had become engaged and someone gave us a book called Dating, Waiting, and Choosing a Mate. And we went through that Bible study book, and it was a book that just kind of helped young couples to prepare for marriage. And a part of the book, one of the chapters, was on the subject of making a budget. And in that chapter, they talked about how every family should give the first fruits to God when God blesses them. And here we were just in our early 20s and just about to finish Bible college, and we were sitting down at a picnic table at Pacific Coast Baptist Bible College, and we began to write out on that particular piece of paper that day our family budget. And I'll never forget it, because as we wrote down the income and the expense, and we included tithe at the top of that expense column, we did not have enough money to make it all work. And I realized that though I wanted to be the head of the home, I didn't know how that was going to work. There was only one way it would work, and that would be by faith. And I determined at that early age that we would be a family of faith. And we trusted the Lord, and we began remembering the promises of God and providing. Now, and how He would provide. Now, a lot of times when we face those crisis moments, like how's this going to work, we want to rely on our own ideas of how to get the job done. I heard about a grandpa who brought his son, grandson Douglas, over, and he said, "Douglas, why don't you mow the lawn for me?" He said, "I'll pay you for it." And so Douglas, he was just a little fella, 3 or 4 year old kid. He was pushing that lawnmower best as he could, and he got it all back and forth and back and forth. And after he got done, he came over to his grandpa, and his grandpa gave him 2 shiny quarters. And he said, "Well, Douglas, what do you think about the lawn?" Douglas looked at those 2 quarters. He said, "I think it needs to be done again, Grandpa." Now, a lot of us are pretty good at trying to figure out a way to make another buck here and there. When we're worried, we start trying this and we start trying that. Some people even get themselves deeper in the hole by getting into foolish things. And yet, what do we need to do when the worries come? Let me give you a few thoughts. Letter A, remember the purpose of life. Remember the purpose of life. The purpose of life is to glorify God. Verse 25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment?" Now, the glamour magazines and all the magazines at the shopping center, they tell you that life is about what you wear, what you drive, who you know, and all these kinds of things. But God says, no, the purpose of life is that you would know me and that you would glorify me. Hebrews 13 says in verse number 5, "Let your conversation," that is your lifestyle, "be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man will do unto me." Hey, listen, I don't know where you are right now with your economic situation, but won't it be a great thing, maybe 6 months or a year or 2 or 3 years from now, as you honor God and as you practice biblical stewardship, won't it be a blessing to say, you know what, the Lord helped me through that time. And you can glorify Him for what He has done. That's the purpose of life. Secondly, remember the provision of God. Remember the provision of God. Look at what He says. Jesus is speaking in verse 26. "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much more than they?" Look at verse number 28. "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." Jesus says to his disciples, who perhaps were worried. After all, he said, if you're going to follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And perhaps they thought, you know, this is exciting, but how are we going to eat? And how are we going to be clothed? And how's everything going to be taken care of? He says, look at the birds. They don't sow, and they don't have barns, but I take care of them. If I'll take care of the birds, Jesus says, I can take care of you. He says, and by the way, look at the fields over there. Why, they are clothed with beauty, and look at the beautiful flowers, how I have cared for them. The Bible says in Psalm 37, 25, "I have been old and now I am young. I've been young and now I'm old, rather. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." How many of you thank God that we serve an all-powerful God who is able to provide? And we need to be reminded of that during this time. I heard about a young couple that were dating, and they were getting ready to become engaged. In fact, the young man had just asked permission from the father. And the young woman brought this young man home, and they were having dinner that night with her parents. And so the mom said to the dad, "Why don't you take the boy into the living room, get to know him just a little bit?" And so he took him into the living room. I don't know if he had a shotgun in his hand or not, but that's usually the recommended route. But he took him in the other room there, and he said to the young man, he said, "Now, son, tell me about your plans." The young man said, "Well, I intend to be a Bible scholar." And the father said, "Well, that's good." He said, "That's admirable. But how do you plan to provide a house where my daughter will live. And the young man said, well, I'll study the Bible and I'll pray and God will provide. And then he said, well, how do you expect to buy her a beautiful engagement ring? He said, well, I'll just read the Bible and pray and God will provide. He said, well, when I have grandchildren, how do you expect to take care of those grandchildren? He said, well, I'll read the Bible and I'll pray and God will provide. And the conversation kind of went on like that. Every time he asked a question, the boy said, I'll read the Bible and pray and God will provide. And so the husband went into the kitchen and he saw his wife. She said, how's the conversation going in there? He said, well, it's going all right. He has no job. He has no plans. But the good news is he thinks I'm God. Now, there are a lot of people who think this way, you know. So-and-so's going to bail me out or so-and-so's going to help. But I want to tell you what, we need to look to the Lord for our help. He says, I can take care of the birds and I can take care of the fields and I can take care of you. And then thirdly, we need to remember the power of God. During times like this, when the news seems so bad, look at what it says in verse 31. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed? And you know, a lot of times moms think about that stuff. Will my kid have a nice lunch pail? Will my son have shoes to wear? Will my daughter have a new dress? We think about these things. It's just our nature. And maybe the disciples were thinking about those things. And yet he says in verse 31, don't think about it. Verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. You see, sometimes man's extremity is God's opportunity. Now I want to share with you one of my favorite verses here in your notes. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It really correlates with verse 31. Look what it says there. Be careful for nothing. Now look at that word careful. Let's just study the etymology of that for a moment. Be careful. Flip it around and it says be full of care. Worry about nothing, Jesus says. He says, I don't want you to worry. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, notice the power of God. First of all, he has power to know what you need. The Bible says in verse 32, the heavenly Father knoweth. Hey, I don't know what you need today, but I know that he knows. I know that he has all knowledge. By the way, sometimes what we think we need and what he knows we need are two different things. That's another sermon, but he knows our actual needs today. And then he has power to provide for those needs. Now, I'm not saying that we should not work. I'm not saying that we should not plan, budget, invest, and shop wisely and do everything we can to be wise stewards. This is not what we're saying. It's not like you sit at home, watch television, and just expect stuff to start coming in. But I'm simply saying to you this morning that God knows your need and that God will provide those needs. Philippians 4:19 is written to a giving church. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, when I hear about the world's leaders getting together to discuss financial problems, when I hear some even out and about suggesting certain international monetary tools and techniques that no doubt could be used one day by the Antichrist, I begin to think about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I begin to think about the fact that his kingdom is drawing nigh. And that brings me to the final verse this morning. Look at what it says in verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's read it together. Ready, begin. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. As we close this morning, I want to challenge you, in the midst of all the uncertainty in the world today, to seek first the kingdom of God. Don't put your hope in politically elected. Don't put your hope in a stockbroker or in some financial advisor, but keep your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ and seek first the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will take care of you. The songwriter said, be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. When you start looking to the government or your stockbroker or your company, you're looking in the wrong place, folks. By the way, this is church. I can point you to God, can't I? It's all right that we get the right focus this morning. We're here to get focused on God and on his eternal kingdom. Now, how do you seek first the kingdom of God? Three quick ways. Number one, we seek first the kingdom of God in salvation. I ask people all the time, do you know if you died today, you'd spend eternity in heaven? And the most common answer to that question is, I hope so. But a lot of people don't really know for sure. Nicodemus was one of those men in John chapter 3. He came to Jesus and he said, Jesus, what must a man do to enter into the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus said, you must be born again. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And if you're here this morning and you have never accepted Christ as Savior, I want to encourage you to do that today, to put your faith in Christ, because as a sinner, we can't save ourselves, but God in His grace has reached down to us. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You will enter into the kingdom of God when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You see, a man may go to heaven without health, and a man may go to heaven without riches, and a man may go to heaven without friends, and a man may go to heaven without possessions, but a man will never go to heaven without Jesus. You must be born again. So seek His kingdom by receiving Christ as your Savior. Secondly, we seek His kingdom in stewardship. In Malachi chapter 3, God speaks about something called the tithe. The tithe is not significant merely because it speaks of 10%, although I believe every Christian should learn how to start there in his giving. What's most significant about the tithe is that it represents what the Bible calls the first fruits. Proverbs chapter 3 speaks of giving of the first fruits. That is, whenever God gives you a paycheck or a blessing, He says, I want you to take the first bit of that and I want you to give it back to me so you'll never forget where it all comes from. I want you to be faithful whenever you are blessed to give the first fruits back to me. And we give not to the church, but we give to God through the church. And when we give, we are seeking His kingdom. We are laying in store for the eternal things. We're saying, Lord, my priority is still on You. My values are still on the eternal. I need to pay my rent. I need to pay my car. I need to buy groceries. All of that's important. But it's most important that I have my treasure here so that my heart is here with You. And so the tithe is not just about percentages, it's about the place of your heart. And we seek the kingdom of God through salvation in Jesus Christ. And we seek the kingdom of God through our stewardship. And we seek the kingdom of God by serving the Lord Jesus Christ. For whatsoever ye do, do it all to the glory of God. And we want to be a people in this day that seek first the kingdom of God. I challenge you this morning, in light of all of the conflicting economic news, set your priorities on the eternal. I challenge you to keep the focus by having your heart in the right place. And I challenge you, when the doubt and worry comes, to remember the promises of God. If He can take care of all the fowls of the air, if He can clothe the fields and care for the wildlife, my friend, He can take care of you. You can trust Him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for this time this morning, just to open up the Bible and get things in perspective. We thank You that You give to us that eternal view that sometimes we don't hear about on the news channels. And oh God, I pray that You would help us to be a people of faith today. During these times of uncertainty, we know that we have certainty in the Word of God. And we thank You for Your infallible truth.
Friend, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell teaching and preaching in a series entitled Considering the Preaching of Christ. We're starting a new year by rediscovering what was Jesus' central message, what did He preach about in His brief earthly ministry, and why is it important for us to understand these truths and apply them to our lives. If you would like to hear this entire message or any of the recent broadcasts from Daily in the Word, we do invite you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. On the website, you'll find a link to contact us. You'll also find a link to subscribe to a complimentary daily devotion from Dr. Chappell that can arrive in your email box each and every day. You can also subscribe to the daily podcast and take Daily in the Word with you on your iPod or computer, or refer it to a friend who maybe does not live in an area where our program is broadcast. If you would take time to contact us during the month of January, we would like to give you a gift, our way of saying thank you for listening, but also thank you for letting us know that our program is touching your life. This is a small book written by Pastor Chapel entitled All Things Through Christ, the 10 most important words in the life of a believer. I can do all things through Christ. What a great truth. This little booklet will encourage you. It will challenge you in your life to live your life fully dependent upon the power and the presence of Christ in each and every circumstance. It's our gift to you this month when you call or write to us, and we're easy to contact, toll free. That number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. You can also visit us online at dailyintheword.org and click on the email link. Let us know that our program is touching your life and how this ministry has impacted you. If you'd like to send a letter via mail, you can address your letter to Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, that's Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. Until next time, have a great day.